a siman reish and gimel. So back to Hilchos Tzedakah after a after being held captive for 2 weeks. All right. So frustration and bays is about Hilchos Pidyon Shvuyin. Okay. So the Gemara gives, well, actually Mishnah at the end of Maseches Peah gives these rules as to what is the threshold to consider one to be a poor person. And then the next sif in Shulchan Aruch actually says, yeah, but none of those rules apply anymore in Bizman Hazeh. So what's going on here? And why is the Mishnah at the end of Peah? So also remember, the laws of Rambam, Hilchos Tzedakah, Hilchos Matanos Aniyim, are in the laws of Zerayim, because there's sort of this connection between the laws of Peah, Shichcha, and Demai, and the laws of Tzedakah. What?
Leket,
Peah, and Shichcha. Yeah. I said the Mai. Right, not the Mai, it doesn't make sense. Yes, like a Shichcha and Peah. So, and what are the restrictions there as well? So the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Peah here, actually, maybe just read the tour, that will give us enough info, and then there's an important Rambam, Gemara, on basically on the back of the page. So the Torah says, Mishayesh l'mazon shtei seudos, lo yito mea tamchoy arba asar seudos, lo yito mea kupa, that you can't take from the tamchoy if you have enough money or enough food for 2 meals, and you can't take from the kupa, the barrel or something, if you have 14 meals. So the assumption is because the amount of money you would get from the kupa was enough to sustain for 2 weeks, and the amount of food you would get from the tamchoy is enough to sustain for a day. So you can't take tzedakah if you have enough, and it's going to be available tomorrow anyways. So if you have enough to get you through today, you shouldn't be taking tzedakah that you're not going to need until tomorrow. That seems to be the halacha here. So yesh lo matayim zuz, and if you have 200, afilu einu nosim nosim hem, even if you're not doing business with it, o sheyesh lo chamishim shenosim nosim hem, or you have 50 that is nosim nosim hem, lo yitul mehat tzedakah klal, one would not take from the tzedakah at all. Fine. So yesh lo matayim zuz chaser dinar.
I lost you in the last part. Yesh lo matayim zuz afilu.
If you have 200, so that's considered enough of a principle that you're not permitted to take tzedakah, even if you're not a businessman. Mm-hmm. And he says, and if you are a businessman, you're planning on investing it, so having 50 should be sufficient because you'll be turning it over in order to get more money. That is the assumption is that it is the amount of money for a year. So if you don't have 200, so you'll wait till next year. If you have a little more than 200, so use your money up, and then next year you'll be able to get. So yesh lo masayim zuz chaser dinar. If you have 200 minus 1, afilu nosin lo elav zuz, but masachas areza yidol. So even if somebody writes you a check for 1,000 zuz, you don't have to say, oh, I'm only entitled to get 1 zuz. No, you're okay. You're allowed to take the full 1,000. Yesh lo harbe v'hu alav b'chov. Also, if you have a lot of money, but you also have a lot of chayvus, you have a lot of debts that you have. Oshem mimoshchin l'ksuvas ishto. Or you're held up for your wife's ksuva. I mean, some of that money that you have prepared to pay off your wife. It sounds like in the event that it's necessary to pay off the ksuva. So hareza yito, you're still entitled to take tzedakah. I mean, if you have that money that's put aside for this specific purpose, so that doesn't count towards the maximum allowance. Is that the term? Like if you're above if you're welfare, you have enough money. Something like that. All right. So yeshlo. Now here's another interesting thing, which is a very sensitive issue. Yeshlo bias ukli. Let's say you have a house, or you have stuff in the house. Ukli bias. You have household appliances. Harbe, a lot of them. But ain lo masayim zuz. You just don't have masayim zuz. So what's the question? Do you have to sell that which you have in order to get there? I mean, you don't have 200 in cash, but you do have assets worth in excess of that. So reza yitol ve'ein tzarech limkor. So that you should then sell. Okay. You're allowed to collect. Ve'ein tzarech limkor. You don't need to sell the things of kli beso. Ve'afilu heim klei kesef v'klei zav. Even if they're like very fancy, even if they're silver and gold, one would not be required to sell it. So medvar mamurim b'chli achila v'shtia u'matzos v'chiyotzi behen. This is talking about things that you eat and drink with, or what's matzos again? If you
sleeping,
right, the bed. Aval yeshlo menorah o shulchan shel kesef. You have a menorah or a table of silver. V'chiyotzi behen tzarech lemochrim. That you would need to sell. V'lo yitul mi'atzaka. That you wouldn't collect from the tzaka. So that's what comes up. That's discussed here in the Gemara. So if you're looking, if our pages are the same, it's on the third line in the Beis Yosef, from the top of the page. So it quotes this from the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos. You see that? It says, V'perek mitzia se'isha. Are we in the right? On that page that we were, page Memches, for me it's Memches.
Okay,
In the Beis Yosef, middle of the page, three lines from the top, it says, Uveperek Metzias Isha. No? Oh, yeah, our pages are different. So the black section, black the Yermaskos, Umasha Kasav Yeshlo Bayis Ukli, Bayis Harbay, Vain Lo, Vain Lo, 200 Zuz, Kufkuf Zuz, Areza Yitil Vain Serachlim Korkli Basis. You can collect it, you don't have to sell the stuff in your house. 5 lines
from the bottom of the previous page, Ben Zion.
Okay. So, yeah, so Gamze Sham Mishnah, the Chasav Mordechai, it's also in the Mishnah. The Mordechai also says, Bereish Kama, the who hadin lamakom sheyesh takana shelo laseis mikis shel tzedaka lemishyesh lo davar katzuv. That is also the halacha in a place where you have the rule. I mean, it's not just the Mishnah rule, but it's also the regular rule that presumably many tzedakos have maximum some amount that they say if you have above this threshold, you're not going to be entitled to tzedakah. So, right, the ein l'chashev beis dira ukli tashmisha, and you're not going to consider in terms of their asset count the beis dira, the house that they live in, or their dwelling place, and the kli tashmisha, as well as the vessels. So he says. So where is this coming from? So there is a gemara meseches ksuvis perek metzias isha. Right, we're good. Right, Rami Amasnisin Midatanya, that we have a that it points out or raises the question of a Mishnah on a Brisa, from Brisa. The Haya Mishtamish Bekli Zahav, Yishtamish Bekli Kesef, that we have another Brisa that says that if you're using gold things, so use silver things. Uvekli Kesef, Yishtamish Bekli Nechoshes, and if you're using silver things, you should use copper things. So, I mean, on one hand, the Mishnah, which he quoted from Peah, says that you don't have to sell off your assets. On the other hand, we have this other Brisa that seems to say that you should downgrade rather than to collect tzedakah. So, Amar Rav Zvid, so Rav Zvid said, Lo kasha ha hamita vashulchan, ha bakosos vakaros. One's talking about the bed and the table, and the other one's talking about cups and plates. Well, what's the difference? Maishna kosos vakaros, the lo, where that you wouldn't have to sell off. The Amar, mi'isi li, Misili. He says, because it's Mias to me. What, I'm going to go and buy some other type of plate? I like these plates. And the other plates don't work. So it sounds like something. So the first distinction that's made by Rav Zvid is cups and plates versus bed and table. Okay, bed and table, just go get a new bed and table. While cups and plates, that you could keep your own. So, mita v'shulchanami. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, what are you talking about? A bed and a table also. Amar lo makabel iloy. I won't accept it. So, Amar Rava, b'rei de Rava, b'macharisha de kasva. Oh, I'll tell you a distinction. If you use a silver plow, right? So, right, you have a plow of silver. So that seems water to be a plow.
A plow.
That's right.
A plow, okay.
Right. So that's what we mean. If you have a silver plow, where obviously, well, I don't want to make any presumptions as to what exactly is the law. This probably it's presumably that's a little either ridiculous or B, for a less expensive plow, you'd be able to get better plowage.
Yeah, probably.
Right? So why don't you do that? So Rav Papa Amar Lukash, so Rav Papa Amar Lo Kasha. I said, I'll give you a different answer. Kan kodem sheyavu lidei givoy, kan la'achar sheyavu lidei givoy. No, no. The one's talking about before they came and seized the property, and the other one is coming after that. What's that talking about? So Rashi on the Gemara explains, I don't think the... this is not... Right. The it means if you took money... fudged your earnings, right? And you took money when you actually were above the threshold. So if you were above the threshold and you took money that you weren't supposed to, so Mason says, hey, right? You took money you weren't supposed to. So the guy says, well, okay, that might have worked then, but now I really am poor, so tough luck. So they say, no, if that's the case, then you would have to sell your stuff. That seems to be what this is talking about. So the Mishnah that says you don't have to sell your stuff, that's for a legitimately poor person who shows up and says, look, I have no money. I need money to eat. You could sell your candlesticks, you sell your
silverware.
I was going to say your wife's engagement ring, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure that one might have, that you might actually have to do. But, right, I say, no, I don't want to. I like the plates we have. I don't want to sell it. So you would be entitled to the tzedakah money. And this seems to be the halacha, regardless, I mean, his man is that as well. Right, in fact, that seems to be what the Mordechai is adding, that we mentioned before, that if there's a community has a rule, so that's the rule. So if you already, if you violated the rule, so then, if you're legitimately poor, so then, okay, you you don't have to sell off your stuff. But if you are legitimately poor, so then you do. Okay, so the Chasu HaRifa HaRash, so what does it seem like? So it seems to be three different answers that's mentioned over the course of this Gemara. One of them distinguishes between Kalim. That seems to be rejected by the Gemara. Then it distinguishes between Kalim and totally and the silver plow, right? So, and then Rav Papa says, gives another answer, which is this: it's whether it's a knas or not, right? So is that whether it's a whether you're being taken, you're having money taken from you because you violated the rules or not? That's his distinction. So there is then a question: okay, so is that a machlokas in the Gemara? Or are they just alternative answers to the Gemara? Right? Is Rav Papa arguing on the previous thing? Rav Papa saying, no, there's no distinction between Kalim. Or is he agreeing with the previous thing and just giving an additional rule? Or is it both of them would qualify? I mean, there's actually three possibilities. So the Rishonim actually stand, I think, let's see, stand united on this. So, V'chasu Arif V'harash, Machrishu de Kasva, what does it mean, this golden, the silver thing? It says, Yesh Mefarshim Shehi Hamagira Shemagarin Baba Vesamerchatz. Right, the what was the term I used? I mentioned before the like strigil.
Yeah.
Yeah, the strigil, or strigil. Yes, I think so. Yeah. Okay. Shemagarin, but that you like would scrape in base of merchats.
It's shreds and you would scrape off your skin. It's just like a flat blade.
Yeah.
It's the last thing I'd make out of silver.
Nowadays they use poofs. How much the mighty have fallen. Now we use those poof things. You know.
Wow.
So Shemayarim Aves Amerchas. So Rambam Gamkin Kasa Perkas Mihilchos Matanos Aniim. Right, so also something that you wouldn't make of silver. So Medvar Murim Bekli Achila V'Shtiyah Umalbush Umatzaus V'Chiyotzi Behen. Right, these types of things. Matzaus were
beds.
Right. Aval Im Hayu Klei Kesef Klei Zahav Kegon Magrera O Eli, like a Magrera, which is this thing we mentioned, the strigil. Or the uli, which is a pestle, the chiyotzi ben, mean these types of things. So, pestle.
P-E-S-T-L-E.
Pestle.
Mortar and pestle?
Yeah.
Pestle. The T is pronounced.
You do pronounce the T.
Yeah.
I don't thought it was a pestle. Okay.
You think
okay.
It's pestle?
Yeah, the T is silent.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, I know someone who can resolve this.
Check on this one. Can resolve
the dictionary.
Well, I was thinking of the pharmacist. All right, either way. So so then you can sell them and purchase one that is cheaper. And purchase one that is cheaper and use the excess money to offset your tzedakah cost. The money that you need, your cost, which would then mean that you wouldn't have to collect tzedakah. And even though, what are you doing with the pestle or the pestle? Do we have a tzak on that?
Pretty sure it's
pestle.
Go ahead.
Okay. So even though you that is also a clay Michael, I mean why would you're right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
What
was
it?
Pestle.
No T pronounced. You were probably doing
I can't hear what you
pestle.
Okay.
You may have been doing it the British way.
I don't know if she's right.
How do you say often?
Some people do say often.
Yeah,
I don't.
I think that's an accepted difference.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, so he says even though a pestle, now that we have a psak on it, is also touches food. I mean, why don't we say that's disgusting? You want me to use a copper pestle? I want to use my silver one. So no, it's not really considered klei achila. If they sharifus chayin v'gamim mekarvin lefun of ha'ole lechol, but of course we don't actually like eat directly from it. I mean, yeah, you do, but you treat it or whatever, and then okay, fine. So Rambam perka niskar pasako kimta derava v'cho kimta derav papa. So the Rambam points out, or the Beis Yosef is pointing out
that
the
sharifus chayin.
I think the raw crushed stuff. like the raw material that you're crushing. Yeah. So, right. So it is touching food, but it's not, you know, it's not really what you're going to eat directly from. So the Rambam Perek and Niskar Pasuku Kimta the Rav Kimta the Rav Papa. So the Rambam in that Perek is passing like Rava and Rav Papa, even though Rava seems to have a kasha. I mean, the Gemara asks a question on Rava, right? Rava is the one who said we're going to distinguish between things that touch the food and things that don't, right? And the Gemara says, but you should, you know, people are going to have the same taina there. Oh, you want me to sleep on a bed like that? Right, so the Rambam seems to pass like Rava, even though the Gemara asks that question, which is interesting. So, and he also passes like Rav Papa. So, Nirusha Sover Delika Minayu Plukta El Behicha Mi Tukma Masnisin. So, the meaning that the only time where there's no dispute is only where in the case of the Mishnah, exactly of the Mishnah of Al Inyan Dina Mar Modu Lamar. That, I mean, they're just arguing about how to understand the Mishnah. I mean, what exactly the Mishnah is referring to. But they both agree with each other's Piskei Halacha. Right? They also seem to quote both. They don't pass him between them. And that's the way that we seem to pass. And that's the way that we see pass in Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see. That you don't have to sell off your stuff unless it doesn't have nothing to do with your food, and unless you are already fudging your expense reports and asset report,
I guess. Even if it's a bed, you don't have to sell it.
You do, it sounds like. Oh. It sounds like it's only food stuff that you don't. Food. You don't have to sell your silverware, but you do have to sell your bed. Okay.
My silver bed. Wow.
Yeah, people met back in the old days, the rich people, they traveled with their beds. Yeah.
It says that Og Melech HaBashan's
yes.
bed or cradle was made of barzel.
It was in today's first Seder shir. Today.
Bo Bayom,
yes. We started the Devarim Perek Gimel today.
What did you decide? Is it a cradle or a real bed?
I just decided it's very big.
Yeah, Jeff is very big. Anyway, it says it was made of iron. And Og was a king, so it may not have been a king when he was a baby. He had an iron one, so I don't know who needs a gold one. Anyway.
All right, so the truth is, so the tour goes on. It says, but nowadays maybe it's different. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes that exactly as well. So maybe we can go to the Shulchan Aruch itself. It's pretty long here. Rishon, Gimel, Sif Aleph, and Sif Beis. So. So in Rishon, Gimel, Sif Aleph. So mi shiyesh lo mazon shtei sudos lo yito me'atamkoi. That somebody who has who's taking the who has food for two meals, so he shouldn't take from the tamchoy. And mazon yidal tzuz lo yitul meyakupa. If you have 200 zuz but you don't have a way of making your money work for you, oh sheyesh lo chamishim zuz, you have 50, but who knows who knows what happened to you? You are using it, so handling with it, right? Lo yitol tzedakas, then you shouldn't take tzedakah. Bim yishlo reish zuz, chaser dinar. If you have 200 zuz, a dinar less, ve'inu nosim ve'nosim, maybe you're not dealing with it. I feel noten lo elef zuz, if you give you 1,000 zuz at once, v'asachas, harezeh yitol. Fine, you can take the Ramah as well. The Ramah adds a little scenario. Here he says, a guy starts on a mishulachim trip, right? You're going to go hit a bunch of cities in order to raise money. So, lakabitz kol aderech. So every place that you had in mind to go when you left your house, that's called one time. Even in the first city, they give you some guy writes you a check for 200. You could still accept more, but then onwards you're not supposed to. I think what he means is mikan ve'elach is the next business trip. But you could go, it sounds like you could continue and conclude this trip. I think that's what he means. No? Actually, now I'm reading again, I'm not sure. So Nikra Pam Achas. So every place is one place. And even if you get 200 Jews in one city, Yachol Kaber Yoser, you could accept more. And then it's Aser. So you could accept more where? In that city or for the entire trip?
And the next time you go out.
That's what I thought. Maybe that's what I originally thought. But now the language is a little difficult here. Okay. So.
Still on the sign.
Maybe in the first city you can take more, but not subsequent. What it sounds like.
Yeah, that's what I'm not sure about. What is he? Let's see if the something else. Okay. No, okay. I don't see it at first glance. Okay.
Just a clarification. So tamchoy sounds like it's actual food.
Oh, the plate, yeah. And no, well, both of them.
Tamchoy is coins. That's what the Taz seems to say.
Lo yitul me a tamchoy. Wasn't you doubt too? There's lo yitul me hakupa. Yes, I'm not sure because the language is the same.
Well, the Taz says tamchoy kara gadol lohi v'kovin bo gavoyin machal.
Okay.
Balmi batim u'machaltim lamim.
If they have two sudos. Like right, no, that's what, that is actual what it sounds like. Stuff. Yeah, okay.
And Koopa sounds more like it's stuck a box where you give out the coins.
Yeah, right, the only thing is that the language is exactly the same.
I
thought that as well in the first time, but the language is the same, so I'm not really sure.
If they're both coins, then what's the difference? Why different terms?
Yeah. I mean, the Shach here explains what's going on here, as we mentioned before, the Kachaya Darkam, that Shach Aleph, Kachaya Darkam, that was their way, L'chalik Tamchui b'chol yom, to divide up the Tamchui every day, V'kupa mi'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos, so l'fichach, mi'sheyesh lo mazon yomechad, if you have a meal for one day, lo yitul me'a Tamchui, shouldn't take from the Tamchui, mi'sheyesh lo mazon yudalat, so there's 14 meals, because apparently you only eat 2 meals a day, lo yitul me'a kupa, so then you shouldn't take from the kupa. V'chasav ha'smak, the din kupa v'tamchui eino noig b'yameinu, it's not noig today, as not only do they say it, but, well, that's where, in Sif Beis, that's where they're quoting from. V'nira d'ratzel lomar kol dine kupa, what do you have for ayin pei?
It says ayin pei.
Kol dine kupa, al pi mashi yisparo l'kamen. Okay, simen reishin vav. V'avadi d'chol kal mi Yisrael, yish lahem kupa shel tzedakah. But really, every kal has it, and I guess they have their own rules as well, as the Rambam writes out, and that's something that everybody is responsible to have. Fine. The Piskei Tshuva here points out what's going on here. Nikra, that the entire trip is called Pamachas. So the Piskei Tshuva says, I am the Tshuva Sarid Baz, Shekasav Od Ika Taimachrin, and the Lo Amrin Amish Yeshlo Reshdoz Lo Yitul Minat Tzedakah. That another reason why we don't say that if you have 200 zuz you shouldn't take from tzedakah, elam mikupa shel tzedakah, omei hayachidim b'toras tzedakah, sherei bal habayis anosin la'ani zeh, lo yitin la'ani acher. Because if you give to this guy, you're not going to give to another guy. V'nimsa gozel es haniyim. It will turn out that you're stealing from the aniyim. V'abaniyon nidam, but in our case, shakol yodim sheyish l'yosim ha'tayim zuz. But everybody knows that he has more than 200 zuz. It's been announced at shul. Everybody saw how much he was getting. V'hu machzir mishum parnasas ishto. And he's going to, because of, in order to support his wife, uvanov. Nosin lo b'toras matana, v'lo b'toras tzedaka. They're giving it to him b'toras matana, and not b'toras tzedaka. V'lchein tzorech lehizir es agabai tzedaka, shalo yitnu lehem ikupa shal tzedaka, shenimsu gozlim sharaniyim. So the agabai tzedaka has to be very careful, because he's taking away from other aniyim. V'im ein lo ma'asayim zuz, v'ratsu ha'gabayim litein lo, afil matan meruba mutter. You could give him what he needs, he doesn't have any kol makom tzorech, you could give him more than what he needs. We kol makom tzorech l'dachik b'davar shalo yidachu es shar haniyim, asher yibir. But you have to be careful not to do that at the expense of the other people in the city. All right, so what is he saying? That if he's going to go around from place to place, so everybody knows that he's probably has more than that already, and they know what they're doing. Now, it says they're giving him a ton and not giving him tzedakah. I don't know. I think people still expect him to be tzedakah. I'm not sure what that means. They're giving him a ton, not tzedakah, and therefore doesn't count for his meiser money, and therefore maybe it means that it doesn't count for his city tzedakah allotment that he's required to give, or something like that. But he's still permitted to collect and ask people for that money. Okay. V'im yishlo harbe, v'u'alav b'chov, and then the Shulchan Aruch continues here, that if he does have a lot of money, and he just has this obligation, he's a debt, osha mimoshchan l'ksuvas, or it's bound up as collateral for l'ksuva, yishto hareza yitol, that... You can go and collect. He could take from the kupa / tamchoi. The mieshlo bayis ukli bayis har mieshlo bayis ukli bayis har. If he has a house or stuff in the house, a lot of it. The einlo reishlos. He just doesn't have 200 in cash. Harize yitol. The einzer klimkor kli beisu vafiluhem shel kesos up. Even if they're gold and silver. However, right, b'medver mamurim b'kli achila mishdia. Only eat and drink umalbush umatzos and clothes and bedding. But the strigil or the pestle, which are made of silver, mochrim, that he should sell, velo yitol mitzdaka, and don't collect money from mitzdaka. Vahad de im chayvenos sol limkor kli tashmisha shol kesef azav dafka kolz man sheinu tzara kli tol meyakupa elanoto beseser miyachidim. Aval im bo li tol meyakupa shol tzaka lo yitin lo ad sheyimchor kelev. And this is only if he's collecting from people. But if he actually comes to the kupa, so then he should sell his kelim. Where do you get that from?
Wow.
Holding like Rav Papa. However, that's not like Rashi's pshat in Rav Papa. The shot that I gave you of that if it's a fine, that was what Rashi said. But now looking back on it, what was the Rush and the Riff and Rush say? Ah, yeah, okay, I made a mistake. That was actually the next section of the Beis Yosef. Yeah, the Rif Paskins, that last line in the Gemara, where the Rif Papa's, what Rif Papa said in the Gemara, right? Rif Papa said, Amar Rif Papa, Amar lo kasha kan kodem sheyavu li digivoy, kan la'achar sheyavu li digivoy. So Rashi's pshat is that one's a fine and one's not. And one's not. Rashi's pshat in that Gemara is that if he took money when he wasn't supposed to, so then he's qualified as this giboy, and the knas is, right, the fine against him is that he has to sell off his stuff. That's not the way the Rif reads it. The Rif just Rif says that if it's collecting or not collecting, I mean, if he's coming to collect from the kupa, so that means that you have to sell off all your stuff. You can't be entitled to this pot of money or food until you've sold off all your stuff. But what entitles you? But if you want to go collect from other people, so then you don't have to sell off all your stuff, and perhaps even let them be the judge whether they think it's appropriate that you to give you tzedakah, even though you still have gold and silver kalim that you're eating from. But to collect from the city money, that says the Rif we're not going to do, unless you sell off all of your things. That's the psak of the Rif, and that seems to be the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not sure what's Machmir or Mekel here. Like, right? It's Benodal Lechaver. I'm not sure how you, what the methodology of being Machriya that is. Okay, so then the Ramah continues on and says, right? In any place where they have these rules, where if you have a certain amount of money, you are excluded from the tzedakah. So you don't include the Beis Dira and your Kalim. And if somebody is wealthy, you can't give their sons. It also threw me off a little bit. It doesn't mean he can't give his sons. He's responsible to give his sons. I mean, can you give money to Shua and say, hey, you're a poor guy. Let me give you some of the tzedakah money. Have it count to miser. No, because his parents are feeding him. His parents have that responsibility, so therefore he's not going to count as being poor. If they're relying on their father's house. This is all talking about tzedakah, but in terms of gifts and honor, so that a person could receive, as we see from the story of Elisha, that Elisha received things from his, I guess, from his host. That's what it's referring to. That's what it's right? Yeah, you could benefit like Elisha, like he was staying with in this woman's house, and the woman gave him the things that he needed. Okay, so there's a couple of ha'aros that here the Pesachim and Tshuvos adds in.
I guess the Shunamis gave him food, probably.
Right. Yeah. So, okay, so the shirmas of that we covered, and why they are that way.
I don't really have a good concept of what 50 zuz is.
Yeah.
Have to look it up in the black window.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And figure out how much that could really get you over the course of the year.
It wouldn't be much.
You were obligated to. What's the Kusupa say? Ketuba?
Yeah, 200.
Does it
say Zeus there?
Huh?
Does it say something else?
Yeah.
200 Zeus.
Yes, it's 200 for Basula, right?
So it's like a 1 year.
And the assumption is that it's a 1 year thing. That's why.
Nowadays you wouldn't.
That's the premise of the RC prenup number that they give. That it's about per day based on whatever average living expenses for the year is. That's how they came up with their number.
Not worth that much today.
Silver has become very expensive. I understand.
$50 an ounce.
I don't know, but from what I understand, candlesticks and kiddush cups are much more expensive than they used to be.
It's $50 an ounce. You're only getting $10,000. Good luck living for a year on that. I hope he can reach 50.
Okay, so he does have a couple points here, like what would you have to sell? Clothing. What about svarim? He seems to include svarim as something that you would not have to sell, but he says if you have a lot of
duplicates,
the duplicates should then go ahead and be required to sell. Most of this stuff is going to fall under the jurisdiction of what are the rules of a stucco organization. But he does have, I noticed here on the bottom here, what about a house? What about if you have a very large house and now you need stucco money? So do they have the right to say you should move to a smaller house? So he quotes from the Mishnah Rishona on Mesechus Peah, which says, no, if you have a price of any value, so you don't have to downgrade the house before you can collect tzedakah. So the Shevet HaLevi comments, that you don't have to sell the house. Even if you have three rooms, and you could in theory live in two rooms or less, the Mishnah Rishonah said that you would be obligated to sell. He says, no, you would not be required to sell. But then he adds in here, even according to what he said, if you live in a really, really big house with many, many, many rooms, much more than you possibly need, that you would certainly need to sell. The point just only is that we're not going to be a medaktikon. We're not going to be, you can live in a room without that extra den, so you better, probably easier to do it in like Overbrook Park, right? You have a porch. Right, that porch automatically values your house a little bit higher. You should get a house without a porch. Right, so that's not going to be that's not going to be the cheshbon. We're not going to make people do that. What was the other? There it is. What about if you have? He adds in here also. What about if you have investments and things like that? Right, so you don't have to sell anything. Do you have to sell for your investments? So he says, yeah, v'chol shekeinim yesh lo hashkaos. Investments, these are modern Hebrew words. Ochaskonos, savings. The modern Hebrew in that Google Translate told me what they were. So the Nairos Erek Bevank, or you have like promissory notes from the bank, which feel Kol Tsar Shelo Tavo. So you have, or some kind of insurance built up for a rainy day, literally. So you have rainy day money. So that you can't take from tzedakah, because guess what? If you take it from tzedakah, this is your rainy day, right? So you can't go, oh, well, that's for when I have an emergency. No, this is the emergency, right? So go and use it now. Unless it's specifically set aside for a particular expense which you're going to have. So what is the example that he gives? Marrying off your daughter, right? So let's say you've been putting aside money for marrying off your daughter. So now you're going to take that. Well, my daughter's still going to get married, right? And then we're going to get stuck. So if it's for a rainy day of, you know, who knows if it's ever going to happen, so that you need to sell. But if there's a specific expense, so then it sounds like you would be permitted to keep that. You know, you might have to measure what that, you know, how important that specific expense is, right? So if you have a college fund, I don't know, you know, a college fund to go to an Ivy League place, well, maybe you could have used a college fund to go to a local place, right, and not go in and collect money. So that's, all of this is going to have to be figured out with the Gabbai Tzedaka and things of that nature, or whoever is, you know, whoever is in charge.
Would these be relevant halachas for scholarships in day schools, for example?
Yeah.
I think so. A lot of times you have to decide, you know, does the person deserve a scholarship?
Right, right, of course. Different families have different needs, and for sure, this would be, these are relevant. But ultimately, you know, ultimately they're coming to the cheshbon. So yeah, the idea that you don't have to sell off everything in order to and to squeeze every mass out, that's an important guideline to keep in mind. And the other, the whole dynamic is somewhat different because our expenses are very different. So with that, let's just go to Sif Beis. Sif Beis, he says, Bizman Hazeh. Now Bizman Hazeh is still 500 years ago, but still he says V'yesh Omrim Shelo Nemru Ha Shiurim Halalu El B'yameim. These were in those days where they actually had kupas and tamchuis. Of a Bizman Hazeh, in the modern age, Yochel Litol Ad Shiyelo Keren Kadeshi Sparnis Hu Uvnei Veso Meharevach V'dvarim Shel Tamhim. He says, what is the amount now if you have an endowment? It's a very odd thing. Right? If you have enough money, right, so if you, to be able to sustain yourself going forward, so that's the amount. If you don't have that, you can collect tzedakah. Now, wait a second. So that means every 24-year-old has to have enough money. If not, they can go ahead and claim tzedakah status. Like, how does that work? So he adds in here. The key line was, so that if you have a parnasa, if you have an income that's coming in, so then you're not going to go ahead and jump and say, oh, but I don't have my endowment money set up yet, right? So that would, if you have a job, that would not entitle you to tzedakah money. It's only, it sounds like in the absence of a job, so then you're considered poor unless you have enough of a keren built up that you would be able to have enough money going forward, which is relevant. Certainly, in certain cases where that comes up, meaning if sometimes the opposite happens. Let's say a person, some kind of a widow situation, and there was a life insurance policy. So life insurance policy is a nice keren, right? But it's not necessarily going to last for mother and children for the next 3 decades, right? So so perhaps that could still that would still entitle a person to tzedakah, even though they might have the money to live throughout the year, to live out the year. I mean, the halacha, A, it sounds like, well, if you have enough money to live out the year, so then we're not going to help you. So halacha 2 is saying that was in those days. It sounds like things were very, very organized. Nowadays, things are not organized. You're still considered poor until you have enough of a keren, which therefore perhaps would entitle you to some of the modern-day benefits of tzedakah, which are like school scholarships and things like that. Right? So scholarship can't say, oh, you got $1 million life insurance policy, so you have plenty of money. Right? So no, that's if there's not an income, if there's not an ability to earn an income going forward, that person could still be considered an ani, even though they might have a significant amount of keren built up from some type of policy in the past. So, all right.
I guess I'm just trying to get my head around thinking about how much of a keren does one need.
Yeah.
You tell how much?
That's a good question.
Depends how much you need to live on and how much you can generate from the keren.
And depends on where you live. And so what could people say? So, well, what are you doing living in Lower Merion? Move to
Overbrook Park.
But I guess
Overbrook Park. I was gonna say move to Ohio. I don't know. You know.
Is it a year's worth of money?
So halacha, so according to the Din of the Gemara, it sounds like it's a year's worth of money. But that, what's that based on? It's based on that the community is organized enough that in a year from now they're going to replenish your year. That's what it's that's where the idea is coming. That's where the 200 is coming from. So if you're less than 200, you're not going to live out the year. So therefore, you're entitled to money now. If you have more than 200, so you should be taking money now. Wait a year and you'll deal with it next year. But nowadays, what he's saying, or at least 500 years ago and onwards, where things are not organized in the same way, so then if you don't have enough money to be able to live off the interest, so then you are technically a poor person. Unless, as in the Piskei Tshuva here, unless you actually have an income coming in, so then you're not going to be considered a poor person. You can't say any 25-year-old who's in their, you know, their first year in some finance firm said, "Well, I earn a very nice salary, but I don't have a Karen to provide me to support me the rest of my life, right? So I'm considered so poor."
Someone who's not working.
Right. So it means someone who doesn't have a income, a recognizable income coming in. So then they would fall under this category. That seems to be the talk. This comes up, this issue of how much money should a school go after right off the bat in when there's some kind of...
Well, you have to list all your assets. Now that there's no tape running it. Now that they...
Yes.
There's a private school, a